we're going to try and get through this. I got a little bit of a scratchy throat this morning. We'll do the best that we can, as always. All right. We've got a lesson here called Sin is Always Wrong. And the key word here is always. I mean, sin is wrong, we know that, but it is always wrong. You can't ever make sin right. And so, many people do not care if what they do is right or wrong in God's sight. We know that's the way this world operates. And many choose to downplay what God calls sin. And they make light of it, they make fun of it, they joke about it, but they downplay what God calls sin. Any behavior that God deems as an abomination to Him, yeah, they make fun of it, they laugh about it, and they even promote what God calls sin. And so, yes, that's what many people do. And many people ignore the warnings in the Bible of the consequences of sin and continuing in the practice of sin. But no matter the reason, sin is always wrong. And that means it is never right to do. And people want to try and justify it. They want to come up with some reason. Well, there was extenuating circumstances or anything to downplay the fact that it is sin and they did something which God does not like. And of course, we know sin is transgression of the law from 1 John 3 and verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness or without law. And then, of course, what do sins do? Well, Isaiah 59:2 says, "Behold, your iniquities or your sins have made a separation between you and God." Sin is what separates man from God. It happened in the Garden of Eden. Man was separated from God, so God had to come up with a plan to restore mankind to a relationship with Him, and that was realized through Jesus the Christ. All right, sin is always wrong, even if we do not know better. See in Acts 3, 17 and 18, Peter said, "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled." And then Hosea 4, 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." So ignorance is no excuse. Sin is always wrong, even if we do it with a clear conscience. You know what? Some people, sin doesn't bother them. They do it and they don't think anything about it. And they do it with a clear conscience. See, in Acts 23 and 1, Paul, looking intently at the council, said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." Now, if you go back to chapter 22, verse 1 through 5, what did Paul do? He says, "I thought it was my duty to go and persecute these people who were following this way and put them in prison, even saw to their death." And so Paul said he did that and he thought he was doing right. I mean, he would later lament the fact that he had done this, but at the time, he was living right before God. And as far as he was concerned, in 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." So, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived claimed that he was the foremost sinner. He was the most sinful person of all, just because he really had a hard time forgiving himself. He was thankful that God had forgiven him, thankful that Jesus had forgiven him, but he had a hard time forgiving himself. And I think that's a problem a lot of people have in our day and age. I mean, they have a hard time forgiving themselves for what they've done. And so, even if we do something with a clear conscience, if it's sin, it's still sin. Here's another one which people get confused about. Sin is always wrong, even if it is legal. Yes, we have to sometimes make the distinction, as Peter did. Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. Because men say some things are okay. Just because it's legal does not mean that we are allowed to do what man says. You know, divorce at will, remarriage at will, however you want to do it. I mean, male and female, or the question marks, whatever you have. I mean, drinking and drugs, that's legal, and lawsuits are legal. I mean, they do that all the time, and so forth. I mean, all this stuff that God said, don't do it, and yet the laws have been written to allow such things. Nowadays, it's getting to that point where anybody who speaks out and still calls something sin, they can be charged with hate speech. You know, sin is always wrong, even if someone respectable approves of it. Yeah, we see this. See, deciding if someone is respectable comes down to a matter of opinion. But it really comes down to public opinion polls. Whoever's popular, I mean, and then if they say it, it must be okay, right? Well, just because a president or a governor or council member says something is all right, doesn't make it so. I mean, same-sex marriage is okay according to the governments and the councils and things like that. God says no, so it is wrong. See, 1 John 4:1 said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yeah, don't believe everything people say. If the politician says it's okay, you better verify, what does God say about it? I mean, the politicians have made what would be for us illegal, makes it legal for them to do. And that's not right. That's not fair. They have an unfair advantage. But yet, they were able to put this stuff into law because they're the lawmakers. And everyone who gets into that racket kind of takes advantage of that. But just because they say same-sex marriage is okay, doesn't make it okay. We can understand that. You know, a lot of people use, well, my preacher said so. That doesn't mean a hill of beans, just because your preacher says so. No. Now, if you're like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, you'll find out that they were more noble-minded. They searched the scriptures daily to see that what they were being taught was the truth or not. So, once again, I'll ask you, do you go to the scriptures and read the scriptures that I present to you and make sure that I am presenting them correctly and so forth? Or do you just take my word for it? And, okay, well, if Carrie said so, it must be. I mean, yeah, I want to have that reputation that, yes, I know my Bible, and if I say this is in the Bible, you have a pretty good confidence that it probably is. If I say it's not in the Bible, you should have confidence in me. I mean, I should have that type of respect as such. But just because I say something doesn't make it so. And so when I start teaching from the Word of God, I'm just the mouthpiece. That's all I am. When I read a scripture, I mean, that is basically God doing the speaking through my mouth. And that's how we need to look at it. And that's how you need to look at me, as just being a pipeline, just being an instrument to receive the message of God. And so, just because the preacher says so, doesn't make it so. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there, and we hear about them all the time, abusing children. I mean, sexually abusing them. I mean, taking advantage of the weaker women or the weaker men or whatever, and getting involved in all sorts of things. A lot of them have gotten into that greed, and they just do the greed and power trip or whatever. See, sin is always wrong, even if no one gets hurt. Well, where's the harm? Nobody got hurt. I mean, you can ask that question. And see, Numbers 32 and 23 says, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Yeah, we can do something in private, and we might think, well, nobody else knows about it. I mean, we could do something that would be against the law, and if nobody knows about it, we might start thinking we got away with it. But whatever you are doing, keep doing it. Someone just might get hurt. And just remember, God is watching. See, that's something. God sees everything. He knows everything. He knows what you're thinking before you even think it. He knows that. He knows it. He can look 10 years down the road and know exactly what you're going to be thinking at any moment. He already knows that. So what we have to keep in mind is God knows everything, and that means we better check ourselves to make sure we are behaving as He would want us to behave. And along that same line, it's still wrong even if we do not get caught. Like I said, you might go along, nobody coming, you just go right through the stop sign. Or right through the red light. And you think you're okay, and you can do that. And so, even if we don't get caught, but someone knows. That's something we have to be aware of. First of all, you know yourself. I mean, if you've done this, you've broken the law. And that should cause a feeling of guilt to come over you, knowing that you've done that. Some people don't care that they break the law. Some people like to break the law just because it's there. I mean, you're driving down the freeway and some person passes you doing like 90 miles per hour. I mean, you think how foolish that is, and maybe you'll say a little prayer for them, hope they get to their destination safely, but they're still breaking the law, and they know it. Hebrews 4:13, "And there is not a creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." And so we might think that we can hide from God, but we should read Psalm 139. 139 talks about the presence of God. He says, "Behold, thou art there. If I go to the highest mountain, behold, thou art there. If I go to the deepest sea, behold, thou art there. If I hide in the caves, and the darkness cannot hide me, behold, thou art there." I mean, so we cannot hide from God. You know, some people, you know, John 3:17 through 19 talks about the fact that people love the darkness more than the light because the darkness covered up their sins. They did their sin in stealth where hopefully nobody would see them. That's why a lot of crime takes place at night. Because people can miss the cameras or whatever, and they're not as exposed, and so they think they can get away with it. But God is watching. See, God is there wherever you choose to go, day or night, at any time. And yes, He is also following you when your mind wanders. You know, we think about that. Sometimes we get thoughts in our head and our mind wanders. Guess what? He's there seeing where our mind is going. We need to remember that. God knows everything. You know, here's an excuse a lot of people like to use. Well, even if it's not as bad as what someone else did. Well, I know I did wrong, but I'm not anything like so-and-so over there. I did not do near as bad as what someone else did. Seems to be our justification for not needing to repent. Well, it wasn't that big, not a big deal. I mean, ever heard somebody say sin is no big deal? Yeah, we all have. And yeah, sin is a big deal according to God, and we should find a way to get rid of that sin. And God has provided the way to get rid of our sins. But a lot of people seem justified. Well, I may have done this, but I didn't do that. I mean, so, yeah, I just said some bad things to my neighbor. I didn't go shoot him. I mean, so, or her, whatever, whoever needed the shooting. But still, I mean, that's there. See, James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." And this is a fact that I think very few Christians really pay attention to. Because God has given us many commands that we're supposed to live by. And yet, seems like we want to keep it simple enough, that five-finger plan here, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. I've done that. Okay, I'm good. I don't have to do anything else. Really? Well, that's where a lot of people seem to stop, just that far. And God has given us a lot. And if we fail to keep God's law in just one point, we're guilty of all. That's why it's imperative that we learn what God's law is. And the only way to learn it is to study it. And so, who are we to compare ourselves to when we think about it? Here's what we normally do. When we're trying to think, try and compare ourselves to someone, we will look at them homeless people out there. We'll look at those drug dealers out there. We'll see those drunkards out there. Well, I'm not like that. You remember like the Pharisee did? I thank you, God, I'm not like that. So that's where we like to compare ourselves. And then what if we, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I look pretty good. Some people, Paul talked about those who measured themselves by themselves. In other words, here's my standard. I have my own standards. Just as long as I don't break my standards, that's okay. Once again, that's still the wrong standard. Yes, we might take some individuals and follow their example if they're setting good examples. Yeah, that should be a good guide for us. But we are to compare ourselves to Christ. And we've talked about that. We talked about that last week and the week before that. We're to compare ourselves with Christ. And how do we measure up to Christ? Well, honestly, we fail miserably. But that means we're supposed to be trying even harder to measure up to Christ. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Matthew 5:44, "Be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy." Now here's one which people have problems with. Sin is always wrong, even if we're trying to do good. You know, this is that phrase, the end justifies the means. And it doesn't matter how we get there, just so long as the end result is reached. And this is the logical thinking of people who have decided not to do things God's way. I mean, they want to gather a lot of people, so what do? Instead of using the gospel to draw people, they use things. They use entertainment. They use food and stuff like that. They have parties and fun and bazaars and all sorts of things. They have raffles and stuff like that to justify the means of accomplishing what they want to do. See, many will ignore God's law by deciding what is a good thing to do. And they're going to do it anyway. And yeah, I mean, it may make them appear like it's being a good work. But then, once they start doing stuff like that, there's no stopping. You can keep going on and on. See, feelings and emotions are involved here. And that's where it takes you. I mean, if it feels good, do it, is the motto, which, yeah, I mean, we read that in the commercials, in the newspaper ads. If it feels good, do it. I mean, so, but there's a problem there. See, in 2 Samuel 6, David is trying to bring the ark home, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, and he does it improperly, and what happens? They put her on a new cart, and the oxen stumbled. Uzzah, trying to protect the ark, touched it, and the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and Uzzah was struck dead. Uzzah paid with his life. Why? Well, he was trying to do good. I mean, he was acting in all sincerity. But yet God wasn't appreciative, because God already said whoever touches the ark is going to die. He said that many years before. So God had to be true to himself, and he said it. So, yeah, he had to go through with it. God had to do that. We know that's the case. But some people say concerning salvation, well, if you have the right intentions, if you have good intentions, God's going to overlook your other faults and you can still go to heaven. No. We don't learn that from the Bible. We learn that from human reasoning, and human reasoning is flawed. Sometimes truth can be hurtful, and yes, we have the need for wisdom. You know, sometimes just walking up to a person and say, you're going to hell. I mean, that's very offensive language. And we should never do that. Now, we could warn them. Now, if you follow the Bible, you have an opportunity to go to heaven. But if you reject the Bible, the only place you're going to go is hell. I mean, it's how you approach it. And so some people, you tell them just the blunt truth, and they get offended by that. And they don't want to hear anymore. And sometimes we tell a blunt truth, even though it's the truth. I mean, we don't mean to be hurtful, but it's perceived that way. So that's why we need wisdom, to be able to temper our words, but yet still leave the message intact. Anyone who does not obey the Son does not have eternal life. I mean, John 3:36 tells us that. Sin is always wrong, even if someone else influenced us. You know, we've heard this argument also. See, did this work on our parents when we were blamed others or our siblings? Well, they were doing it, so I did it also. Did your parents let you get away with that? Well, since they were doing it, I guess it's okay. No, you still got the spanking, or you should have gotten the spanking, let's put it that way. But still, it didn't work on our parents, and so why do we think it'll work on God? I mean, a lot of people seem to think so. Well, because they did it, it must be okay, you know, following someone else's example. But if they're setting the wrong example and you follow it, it's not okay. See, a lot of blaming took place in Genesis 3, you know, 12 and 13. Eve blamed the serpent, and Adam blamed the woman, and eventually blamed God because you gave me the woman. It's your fault. I mean, it's almost how it came across. But yet people from that very time have always been trying to blame someone else. Put the blame somewhere else. And we see that happening in our world today. Well, because of the violence out there. Well, that's because of the video games and stuff like that. Or that's because of this or that. And never blame the person who did the wrong. Always find something else to blame. Then guess what? Nobody's accountable. And that's the way this world wants it. Nobody is accountable to God anymore. If they can find a scapegoat or find someone that they can put the blame on. What if there were teachers who were teaching error? If we allowed them to influence us to do anything God called sin, it would still be wrong. If we allowed them to do that, it would be wrong. And what's it going to take for us to want to hear from false teachers? Well, Paul told Timothy, the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but wishing to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers of their own accord, and they will turn aside to myths and fables away from the truth. You know, that's 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. So even if someone else influences us, if we do wrong, if we do sin, it is still wrong. And here's one, probably the one that we have probably all said, I just can't help myself. You know, a lot of people, they get this point. Sometimes it might be because they're addicted to something. I just can't help myself. Or they've just gotten into habit. I just can't help myself. I mean, this is probably the number one excuse for sin ever given, when you think about it. And some get addicted to drugs, alcohol, they lose control of their reasoning ability. And some get so high they do not even realize what they may have done in their time of stupor or drunkenness. You know, some people, you hear that. They get out there, and what did I do? I mean, they find out, well, they did this or that, and maybe someone lost their life because of it. I mean, they sometimes get that way. But Peter described these people, the character of these, like unreasoning animals. Animals don't think. They just work by instinct. And they don't think that, okay, there's consequences if I do this. Or there's consequences if I do that. Or if I make that choice, I may not live through this. I mean, animals don't think like that. They don't reason and think like we do. Because we are given that characteristic that God gave us, the reasoning ability. And so Peter described those who are involved in sin and continue in sin just like the unreasoning animals. They just can't help themselves. You know, it's like the male dogs go around, they find a female in heat, they just do their thing. And they don't sit there, are there any moral consequences to this? No. They do what they do. You know, we could use that in a Geico commercial, right? It's what they do. All right, so these people just can't help themselves. Probably because they don't want to help themselves. They don't mind doing what they're doing. See, sin is always wrong. There's no question about that. And sin can never be justified, however many try to do so. And a lot of people try and justify their sin. Well, I did sin, but there's a reason for it, and this or that, and you try and justify it. And all you're doing is trying just to make yourself feel, okay, I'm not that bad. But where we really need to be is beating on our chest, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I mean, that's where we really need to be going with this. But we know the result of sin is death and separation from God. Not only now, in this life, but it'll result, if we don't change our ways, in forever being separated from God. You know, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 talks about that. Forever separated from God. And what's that going to be like? Being in a burning torment? You're never going to get out of there because God's not there. You're separated. There is no hope. I mean, it sounds like a horrible thing, and yes, we should never downplay hell. Some people make fun of it, say, yeah, I'll see all my friends in hell. No, you won't. It's a place of darkness. You won't see anything. You'll probably hear the screaming, the gnashing of teeth, and the weeping. You'll probably hear that, but it'll be total darkness. Why? Because God is light. And so there is no God in hell, and it is total darkness. And as Jesus described, it's the flame that burns without ceasing. I mean, it's going to continue on forever and ever. Now, we also know from studying God's word, there's a remedy and a way to have our sins forgiven and blotted out. If we're not a Christian, we have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Have our sins washed away. And we can do that. If we are a Christian and we continue to sin, which we do, all of us do, we're all guilty of that in some form or another. And what do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9. So God gave us the method, and we must comply if we want to be right in His sight. God has told us what is acceptable. God has told us what is not acceptable. And if we choose to go with what God said is acceptable and do and live to the best of our ability, we'll be pleasing to Him. But if we choose to do our own thing, that is not acceptable to God, and we will pay the price for it. So, think about these things. Sin is always wrong. There's never a chance or never a time when sin is right. Even though you say extenuating circumstances, it's still wrong. Well, I had to get somebody to the hospital real quick. They were dying. Ran through the red light. Well, yeah, but it's still wrong. You can ask for forgiveness for that. Yeah, your intentions were good, but you still have to ask for forgiveness. And hopefully, if the police saw you, they'll show mercy towards you. But they have every right. You blow through a red light, give you a ticket. I mean, it's still the law. So, keep these thoughts in mind. And that's our lesson. We're going to sing the invitation. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.